Blog Talk Radio.
Another Manic Monday with Money Girl of MSFB Studios and Productions. As I'm fond of saying on the phone, hi, you've reached Money Girl of MSFB Studios and Productions. How may I help you? Well, I will tell you how I am here to help you today, here and now. That's to help you get a financially fit February. So this is a continuation of what we did not even scratch the surface of last time we talked. So, how do I get financially fit in February, the infamous month of chocolate and singles awareness? Well, first off, we talked about making a budget, right? Remember the big piece of paper with the T across the top and the letters DR and CR and all the everything you owe on one on the left side and everything you have coming in on the right, and hopefully the total on the right is larger than the one on the left. Well, unless you're, hopefully. If it's not, we're going to talk about some ways to help balance that out, because the only equation that matters in Money Girl's world is A, for our assets.
Thank you
all
for
the
tuning
things
in.
On the left
this
side.
This is MSFP Worldwide Music's Audio Electronic Press Kit.
MSFPWorldMusic.com, baby!
Show 'em what you got.
Show 'em what you got.
My ladies, my hitters, my players.
Anyway, as I was saying before the gremlins took over, so you got to hear a bit of our press kit, which is really cool because I can vibe to that. As I said, so financially fit February, starting off with assets equals liabilities plus anything left over, which if you're a small business is E for equity, shareholders equity. There's a whole bunch of ways that it just means everything's not taken up with assets and liabilities matching each other. That's what's left over for you. All right, so how on earth, with 2020 being as messed up as it was, all the financial challenges, all the lockdowns, I mean, I really need a new coat of paint because I have been staring at these four walls so long, I have every single crack memorized. And they don't even make pictures anymore. All right, so fortunately, I found out one of the interesting things that goes on sale this month is interior paint. So I am going to probably be making a trip to Lowe's over the next weekend and getting myself some Starshine, which is a beautiful color, redo my living room and repaint my bedroom in in pinks and reds. Why? Because they're the color of money. And I love money. Clearly, it talks to me. I wish it said hello more than it said goodbye, but it does. Anyway, so getting back to what the heart of it, which is you making a date with your money. Now, you can do this if whether you're single or whether you have someone. Now, if you have someone, making a money date is probably the most important thing you can do to have a healthy relationship. So instead of going out and I know this doesn't sound very romantic, but instead of going out on the 14th, two of you put on something that you both will enjoy. You don't have to think about, maybe put on your favorite music and sit down and start going over and having a money date with your mate. Me, I'm just going to have a date with my money. So we're going to go look at how much we owe. You know, people spend for different reasons. It's called retail therapy for a reason. It's called retail therapy. So if you have spent a little too much to make yourself happier at the end of 2020, you need to know where you stand. So that means, guess what? Opening up all the credit card bills from December, which came in January and are due now. So you sit down and you take a look. You take a look at what you're making. You take a look at your balances and statements, and then you cry. And it's an ugly cry. And by ugly, I mean like eyes red, tears running down your face, and you feel all hot and icky. Well, get that done. Get that over with. Wipe the tear smudges off your statements, because the reality of it is, they'll still be there after the tear stains have dried. So you need to know how much you owe. So you're going to go look at your balances. Okay, and so you spent more than normal. The average was $1,321, and that's average. That means there are some people who spent a lot more. There's some people who spent a lot less. I mean, you've heard me talk about Dollar Tree before. It is a wonderful place to shop for decorations. We spent about $4 on the wreath for our door. And I found some excellent, we hit the exotic food aisle in the grocery store, and we made up some cool little gift baskets. So you can do plenty of cool things for plenty of people for not a lot of cash. Great. Now, so you know where you stand. You know you probably spent a little bit more, but guess what? We're going to give you the tools so that next December isn't as traumatic. So, you know, I'm going to say the B word again, right? So you figure out how much you spent. Okay, I'm going to make it really easy. Say you spent $1,200 on Christmas gifts last year, right? You know it's coming up again. So you're going to take that $1,200, you're going to divide it by 10. Why 10? Well, because this is already the second month. And December, right? So that's 10 months from now. Okay, and you're going to divide that by 10. 1,200 divided by 10 is 120. You're going to see if you can tuck aside $120 every month. And by that, I mean you put it in a sock drawer. You put it somewhere where you are not going to touch it, even if it's in the ice cube tray, in the bag of spinach, in the very back darkest corner of your freezer, right? You put it away so that you don't touch it. Now, mind you, this is only after you have paid down or paid all, like the utilities, everything else. Okay? So you after you paid your monthly utilities, after you paid your credit cards, why is it important to pay your credit cards on time every month? Because you remember those boss cheap interest rates you got? Guess what happens if you miss a payment? They start to go up. And you end up being like my friend who is paying 27% interest. That's right, 27. That means over half, over a quarter of what she pays in interest goes to nothing but interest, doesn't even touch her balance. So you're going to go through and do that. Now, the other thing is, do you want to know the really dirty trick? And this is after quote-unquote financial reform and credit card reform. If you miss a payment, make a late payment on card A, and you have card B and card C, if you miss the payment for card A, card B and card C can start to raise your interest rates as well, making this an even bigger whammy, an even bigger chunk out of a pretty limited pie, which is one of the dirty secrets they don't tell you. The other thing is when you're adding up all your credit cards and seeing how much you have, okay, you need to take what is your maximum. Okay, so say I have three credit cards with a total maximum of, because I'm a student, I don't make a lot, with a maximum of $1,500, okay? So, and I carry pretty close to the maximum balance, so, yeah. That means I have almost 100% credit card utilization rate, which is why credit card people, oh, we'll give you a free. It's like, no, I don't even waste your time, because I have nearly 100% credit utilization rate. It should be ideally between about 20 and 25%. That's the magic sweet spot. That's what's going to make your credit scores go up. TransUnion goes, oh, she's clearly a good credit risk. It's okay to give her money because she'll pay it back. Little do they know. No. And I am not in any way, shape, or form advocating financial default, because it is a horrible, horrible place to be. And it is a very long and tough struggle, which yours truly has made to get out of default, particularly if it's student loan debt. That's a whole other story. We'll talk about that differently at a different point in time. So here you are. You're talking to your money. Your money's talking to you. You're talking to your partner. Your partner's talking to you. And you're all talking money. Great. So you figure out what you owe, what your percentage is. What should be your next strategy? Well, your next strategy is figuring out how you can, like I just said, reduce your percentage of your credit utilization. It's ultimately called your ratio of debt to income. Okay, so we've talked about making the budget. Okay, and sticking to it. Now, I will tell you one of the things that I do when I go to a place that I know I tend to overspend. I do not take the plastic in the store. The plastic gets put somewhere. It probably doesn't even leave the house. And I only take, and I figure out how much can I afford to spend. And I put that in cash into the wallet. All the plastic stays out of the store. That includes my debit card. Now, I know paying cash has become, in the time of Corona, has become super, like, you want me to touch money? Like, yes, I want to touch money. So, you only take what you can afford to spend. That, for me, that's the cheapest way. Now, if I'm going to Costco someplace where I know I can overspend, I don't take a cart. I have actually walked out of Costco with exactly two things, one in each hand, because that's, one, all I needed, and two, I ran out of hands. And it comes out to me like, people look at me as like, you stood in line for 18 eggs? Yes. And the bag of Skinny Pop. So now you know how terrible my diet is, right? So you're going to go through, you've created your list. You have a budget, you have a way of going, okay, how can we make this work? And you have a plan so that you can have a Merry Christmas. Okay, so if you're like me, and I had a business meeting yesterday where I pulled out the back of an envelope and started scribbling things on the back. Now, you need to have a little bit more organized set of financial records. So I will tell you what I have done, which is you get a little plastic envelope with dividers, and you put all the receipts, anytime you get a receipt, into those dividers. And by that I mean everything, if you pay the bill in January, it goes in the first one. If you pay the bill in February, it goes in the second slot. Or if you have one of those alphabet clear organizers, you can find at Staples or any other office place, label them, you know, January, February, March, April, May, and so on through the end of the year. You take your receipts, your paid bills, you put them in. So if anyone ever questions it, you can go back and say, oh, no, I paid you X on X date, which I have had to do on a couple of occasions. They go, oh, you owe us money. Like, think again. Anyway, so I know some people are big on auto payment so that they don't miss a payment. I'm not, and I'll tell you why. Because it gets really easy to just let it ride. And you kind of forget that maybe you're making payments that you don't need to anymore, or that you're not looking at your bill, you're not looking at how things are coming in. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, what are these charges? I don't remember this. Why am I getting this, that, and the other? So I don't do that for that reason, because I want to go through and monitor and make sure that everything's okay before I make any payments. If I have to question something, I will. And it's okay to ask questions. So you're going to organize your financial records. If you want to automate your payments, I know my financial institution allows me to do that. But I recommend that if you do that, you go through and double check your statements and double check your balances. And then if you want to automate them, go ahead. You have Money Girl's blessing. Now, as I said, December's coming. Heck, the start of the semester next week is coming up to bite me in the big toes. So you're going to look ahead, you're going to plan ahead, and you're going to go, you know, I had a really hard time sticking to a budget this year. Maybe I need to, like I said, put things away. And we've talked about the simplest form of saving, right? Which is you walk in the door, there's a bowl or there's your Mad Money dish. You take whatever's in your pocket or your wallet out, you put it in your Mad Money dish. Like me, you put it in the frozen spinach container in the very back of the fridge so that it's not where you see it. So you put things away a little bit at a time. The whole point is you're not making these massive changes, right? And you know how I know? How many people go to the gym the first week of January? We're all going to get in shape, right? Guess what? That parking lot is empty about this time of the year. You know why? Because we're making too many big changes. The key is to make small changes that you can live with. You remember I told you about next week, right? Next week is Valentine's Day. You know how I said I was going to give up a couple of fast food meals and so that I would have money to spend? So far, I'm on track for that. But see, that isn't making a big thing. It's starting off with a small goal that on the X date of the month, I will have this much where I've squirreled something away. I've given up something else. Okay? So that's what that is. Anyway, so, you know, if you are working on paying off that $1,300 in holiday debt, you need to come up with the same thing with if I want to be able to have chocolate on the 14th. Actually, I'd rather have chocolate on the 15th. Why? It's half off, and I can get twice as much. So you're going to take charge of your debts. You need to know where you stand. And you need to think about, it isn't that, oh, I'm a horrible person, I overspent. It's like, okay, I had an indulgence, I'm going to do better. Clearly, as I work towards doing better and getting more organized and having a better relationship with my money, I'm going to have more money. It's changing your whole mindset. It's from changing from being a closed mindset, oh, everything is horrible. And we're not going to quite get to everything is awesome level, but we are working towards it. We're saying, okay, this is not a strength for me yet. What can I do to make it a strength? Okay, so, as I said, stick to cash. Some people say, oh, even take your debit card. No, no. When I go walk into household spices and bakery supplies, debit card does not come in the store. Seriously, cash only. Why? Because if you're using cash for small purchases, I have a wallet that makes a noise every time I open it. So you have to think twice and you have to look and go, you know, I really only have this left. Do I really need this? Now, true confession time, there is the part of me that goes, yes, you need it, precious. You need it now. Yeah, I try not to listen to that. It's like, don't go, don't. I try not to listen to that. So most of the time I look in my wallet and go, And I hear my Scottish ancestor saying, oh, pitiful, pitiful amount in your wallet, lass. So maybe you need to rethink this. Okay, fine. So that's one way to improve your relationship with your money. So maybe on the 14th, you should make a date with your money. Know where you stand. Think about your relationship. It's okay to talk about your relationship. I mean, I'm being very candid about my relationship with money. Money Girl loves her money. Money does not always love Money Girl. That's the way it goes. So you're going to we've talked about making a budget and only using cash where you can. Okay. And thinking about planning ahead, specifically for Christmas, or for holiday spending, so that when December comes, it's not, you don't, okay, so when January comes, you're not going to go, overdid it, you're not going to have as much pain in the new year. The whole thing is we are risk and pain averse, right? I don't want the pain of opening up my credit card statement and going, the balance, it hurts us. So that's what we're going to do. That's a couple of tips. You don't have to do any of these. You don't have to do all of them. Maybe try one or two. See if it works for you. Because after all, I'm Money Girl, and I'm here to help you. And I've kind of come to the end of my list for today. However, Money Girl loves her Manic Monday and helping you all get financially fit. So take a look at what's going on and look ahead and realize February can be a fit, fun time for you financially. And in the words of my boss, catch you on the flip side. Money Girl, out.